Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, one further instruction as we do presbytery, you're all involved with this, so I need you to be praying. I don't want you to be a spectator. And when we get through presbytery, I just would like you to stand up and let's enter worship again. So in between presbyters, we're going to have worship. And during this time, I want you to be praying. You want someone to pray for you if you're receiving the word, wouldn't you? Amen.
Catherine Gentile.
Dignity. You're a woman of dignity. You're a person who cares about making things right. And the Lord says that many times you see that around you and nothing matches up to what you believe should be. And there's an element of discouragement that comes in your spirit. The other word the Lord gave to me to give to you was tell her she's elegant in the eyes of God. And I believe in this age, there needs to be people who have integrity and stands on that, but also has an elegance about them. The Lord is saying to me that you're going to be an example. There's many people coming to this house, and they're not going to look like what you think they're going to look like. There's very few mothers in the house of God that walk in integrity and elegance, such as what you have. You have a gifting of that. There's a presence about you. When you walk in a room, there's you've arrived. And so God's going to anoint you to touch lives in that. Your life is going to touch lives without you opening your mouth. But there is coming a time where you're going to teach young people how to be elegant before the Lord. You see, we've lost all that in this day of freedom. You're going to teach integrity. God's going to give you scriptures. God's going to give you a way. God's going to teach you. Because you try to not come off as elegant because people might think, oh, look at who she thinks she is. But the Lord is saying, walk in my elegance. Walk in my anointing because I'm going to use you to touch deep down inside people's lives. And I think that the Lord said, that is a deep desire in your. And God wants you to understand, don't ever back off your elegance. You walk tall. You stand tall. Because you represent the glorious of the King. And whenever you look in the spirit world and you look through the scriptures, as rough as things were, they never lost the integrity. And if you look at the disciples, the elegance of the word was always there. Never wavered.
I see her as a personnel manager, or what do you call those people, the HR people, like you're interviewing people, and you're finding out, not so much how you want to use them, but how the Lord wants to use them, and you're checking their resumes, and I know just a job for you. I'm going to give my recommendation. I see you in the sense of a gatekeeper, and there are many gates, but they're going to have to be opened. You're going to kind of be there, and I see now. I know where you fit real well in this whole scheme of things. But I see you like an HR, right? Is that what they call those guys? What's HR mean? Huh? Human resources, okay. I mean, in my day of work, I didn't have that kind of thing. They would call them personnel managers. But they were kind of always nice people. But they were always sniffing you out, checking where you might best fit the program. And you're going to be a great help in this house. You're going to see people that pastors are going to want somebody to do a certain thing. And say, I think I just got the right person for you. And you're going to be able to see into the life of that way of people, analyzing them, seeing them, calculating. Wow, they have some great skills that this house can use. And you're going to kind of be able to let him in on it a little bit, okay? Because this is an important part of it. He can't be everybody. He can't see everybody. He might not even have that particular gifting for that purpose. See, God has not called him to be all things in this house. His responsibility is to bring the word of God. But he needs people like yourself, I believe. This is what I believe God's going to use you more and more for. You know, people won't be afraid to come to you. People won't be, they're not going to shy away from you. You don't have this strong authoritarian demeanor. But they're not going to have a complex of, I don't know if I can tell her that or say this to her. But you're going to be able to help them find their place in the house of the Lord. And I see you there as a sort of a personnel manager for the house here. I don't know what in the world you do here. I don't know if she's deaconess or elder or what, but I see you as being a great service in helping to establish the works that God's got to do here. And tomorrow morning I'm going to be sharing, and this is probably fit a little bit better for you when you hear what I'm going to share with the pastor. And it's going to be a great need for this house. This is not a Sunday go to meeting church. And I give you a little hint. This is the day and night church. Every day, every night. God's got something going on in this place. He's raising up people to send them out, to seed the world. To seed the world. And there's going to be a great harvest. As you sow abundantly, you'll reap abundantly. Now, we're not looking just to get more people in the church. More people in the kingdom. And the only message that's going to be preached until Jesus comes is the kingdom. The kingdom shall be preached in all the world, it says, before the end comes. That's why we need you to find your place in this area. Now, I'm giving you this by faith. I don't know anything about you. The pastor hasn't given me any details about your life. But I believe you'll find your spot. You receive it now by faith. Baba said, those who prophesy, prophesy by faith. Those who hear the word must believe it, must receive it by faith. Otherwise, there's no result.
But this has been a time in your life where the Lord says where there's been some frustration, maybe even a little confusion, even looking at this and looking at that and trying to figure some things out. But the Lord has come tonight to give you some direction, as already has been spoken of, and we're encouraged by the word that has come. But know that the Lord wants to impart unto you the gift of discernment. Discernment is one of the most important gifts in the body of Christ when it comes to assignment, when it comes to pointing out and identifying workers in the house of the Lord. So just want to, by faith, impart to you gifting of discernment, discerning of spirits. You will not see people according to the flesh, but rather according to the Spirit. You'll not judge others by what they look like on the outside, but rather you'll see the spiritual nature of the heart and the new creation in the individual. And God's going to enable you to see that and enable you to draw that out and make that the most important thing about the person, that you become one of those forerunners who begins to relate to people on the basis of what God has done in the life, as opposed to where they've come from. You're going to see where they're going and relate to them based upon the direction in which they're heading and the purpose that God has put into their life. That's how I see you relating to people, according to purpose in their life, according to direction. And you're going to do it with integrity. You're going to do it with intentionality. And there's going to be a real discernment that's going to be a help to the pastors in the house of the Lord, where your amen is going to become important. You're going to give your stamp of approval, if it were in a say. Not that he needs your approval, but you're going to be just one that's going to be one that says, yeah, I like that. That's good. I feel good about that. So where there was frustration in your life, this new assignment is going to bring a new release and a new confidence in the things of God, in the kingdom of God, a new boldness for the things of God. You're a little shy at times and don't oftentimes like to speak up and give your mind, but that day is changing now, says the Lord, because it's time to step up and show up and be around to be part of the team, be part of the new team that God is putting together for change, the new team that God is putting together as this church heads into new direction, a new territory, and begins to push down some things that have been standing in the way. You're going to be right there beside the pastors, saying, amen, it's okay. I know this is difficult. I know this is hard. I know this is frustrating at times, but I'm with you. I'm encouraged by this. I see things happening in people's hearts as a result of you pressing, as a result of you pushing on this and pushing on that. God's expanding and expanding us in the process. You'll be an encouraging voice in the house for that. Amen.
Also, I want to say to you, as Pastor and Sister Kathy is going to come to you, because you have been shy, okay, and you don't want to ever push yourself. You'd rather just be apart. But the Lord is saying to you that pastors are going to come to you and ask you questions, and this what just was prophesied, this boldness. They'll be kind. It'll be the right tone. Because that's who you are. But you're going to speak to them the truth. And you're not going to hold back anymore. Because when pastor comes and asks you something, they're looking for an answer. What is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you, sister? We're always looking for witness. We're always looking for agreement. So there's a new boldness coming. Let's all stand at our feet. Pastor, would you come and pray? Let's just stretch your hands to our sister.
While we're, Pastor Ryan was sharing that, and let me just say, Pastor, it's what we do here in worship is a beautiful thing, but that's not the purpose of this church. This church is going on the offensive. So we can come over here and we can bathe in the presence of the Lord, and that's all vital. But that's only for revitalization. That's only for the rest and recuperation. But God's raised us up to do battle. As much as we want to see souls won, the devil wants to see souls lost. And on that department, he has the advantage, because that's what they are when they come into this world, lost. But we got to go out and win him. Bible says, wise is he that wins souls. Wise. And God's saying this church is going on the offensive. It's not just what's going to happen in here. Your mind needs to go out now. This God, just your purpose. You're going to have us on the attack. We're here to attack and tear down the strongholds of the enemy. Come in here, we encourage each other, we bathe in the presence of the Lord, but then we put on our gear, our armor. if you look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, you see a beautiful bride, and God's cleaning up the bride. But if you go to chapter 6, that same bride is there, but she's wearing armor, and she's armed to the teeth. Paul didn't end with the bride. He ended with a warrior. And that's what God's called us to do. And Pastor, whatever you thought you've been doing for the last whatever years you've been working here, it's changed. They need a general. They need a general. The enemy is not a person, a people, that it's the devil and his work and his cohorts. And this church is going on attack in that way. It doesn't mean you become angry people. But you become warriors with a purpose and a battle plan. Okay? I just wanted to say that.
Let's all stretch our hands now. Let's just all pray right now as Pastor seals this.
I just want to, before we seal, I want to just say, don't try to figure it out. All right? You hear me? Because he's going to breathe a fresh breath. That's how it's going to happen. A fresh portion of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to figure out, just receive it, and you're going to see him make it happen. And so Father, we just rejoice, we rejoice, and we seal it by the power of Almighty God, Holy Spirit. We loose you, we decree a fresh breath over her life, and we thank you for what you're going to do. How you're going to do it for your honor and glory. Magnify your name, Jesus. Steve and Cindy.
Hallelujah. I see a gentleness and a compassionate and a loving heart in you, sir. And together, I see the two of you in the spirit sitting with people who are struggling, who are going through difficult time, who are hurting, whether that's maybe an illness. I just see a patiently sitting with and waiting with. You know, some people just like to kind of come in and be there for the bigness of the moment, but your ministry is more simple. Simple does not mean less powerful. Sometimes the most powerful thing that a man or woman can do in Christ is to be present. And when you're with people, you are present with them. You're not distracted looking over their shoulder. You look them in the eyes. You care about what they're saying. They feel empathy in your prayers. They feel empathy in your concern. And sister, the Lord is giving you insight into the Word. You've got a list of scriptures almost like you keep on hand to be encouraging words to say, I need to give this one to that person and this one to this person. And I need to send the note to that one about this. I just see this is an important ministry. I'd almost say you're like counselors in a way, but encouragers in the house of the Lord, but not just in the house here, in the body. But I see you dealing with people that are outside the things of God right now, that are estranged from the house of the Lord, estranged from Christ, that are not yet believers. And rather than trying to convince them with some kind of big old argument, trying to persuade them with some kind of intelligent, persuasive words, it's your attitude and your hearts and your lovingness and your ability to sit with and to listen and to encourage. And you're going to have to endure the threat or the pressure of some are going to say, you know, you're not moving quick enough. You need to go ahead and, you know, hey, give them the good news. Give them the word. But you know what you're doing because you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You know what you're doing because you're both being led by the Holy Spirit.
Lord, show me, brother, that you are an executive in the kingdom. And he's showing me that there's an anointing on you that will couple what was just spoken by Pastor Ryan over your life. See, executives, good executives, are not forceful people. They put things in place, and then they watch them grow. They know what to do and when to do it, and that kind of fits you. In fact, in the Spirit, you've seen some things that you would have straightened out. But because you're a kind man, you kind of back off. But the Lord is saying he needs executives. And that's a typology, obviously, in the kingdom of God. You're in a kingdom executive in the church. And God's going to show you things. He's going to show you people that may need counseling. He's going to show you another person that may need just a little enthusiasm kick. But you do it gently. Because executives know the right thing to motivate the right people. And not that you're a motivator, but you are a motivator. In the kingdom of God, God's going to use you as an encourager. But you're also going to be, and I saw this, and I don't know anything about you, but God says organizer. You're going to organize things for the pastors here. You're going to know what to do and how to do it. Very important because God needs managers in the kingdom. I'm using worldly terms because I want you to understand what he's saying. Things just don't happen in the kingdom. God wants people that get a hold of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, do this, do this, do this. But you got to have the right temperament, the right tone, the right words to say to people. You're a kind man. And simplicity, as Pastor Ryan was saying, is the strongest thing I know of in the Bible. Jesus was not a complicated man. The problem that everybody has with Jesus is he was simple. Beyond man's intellect. And you know man's intellect. And sister, you're going to be right along with him because you feed into what he sees. And it's going to, many times he's going to be seeking the Lord and what to say and what to do. And you're going to come up and say, well, the Lord showed me because you're a partnership. You're not separate people. You're a partnership. And she's got your back, brother, because God's going to ask you to do some things as an executive that you're going to be put on the edge a little bit. And I know what it is to be on the edge, trust me. But I also know what it is to have a wife praying for me behind the scenes. Encouraging, standing in the gap, having the word of the Lord for me, whether we liked it or not. So there's a whole God's, I'm just going to use the word pastor and just, you guys can pray this out, okay? But there's a promotion in the house of the Lord for this man and this woman.
When they came up, I I sense a man of authority, a man who knows how to be under authority. But I also saw that both of them as a team are the devil's worst nightmare. And let me just say this. The words that came to me was, Jesus said, I am meek and lowly, learn of me. Yet this same Jesus came to the shores of the Gadarene coast, and the demons screamed out, what have we to do with you? They were fearful of this meek and lowly Jesus. Gentle spirit, whatever God's been saying here is so accurate and so true. But you're a man of authority, and you're going to have authority over demonic powers and over the works of the enemy, because you're a man of authority in God. God has set you at the promotion. Pastor, you got warriors here. They're combat ready. The authority is going to exude from them, not over lording over people, over the works that the enemy would try to penetrate, to come in this house, to disrupt. There's going to be a voice of authority. Be gone. Be silent. And that authority is not according to his nature, but it's according to the authority that God gave him. And tonight, God's putting this authority in a deeper way in your life. There is natural authority, but then there is this spiritual authority that God's given. And this is tonight an impartation to both of you as warriors. Combat ready.
Before you get up, I just the way it is, I'm picking up thoughts. And the thoughts are, what do you mean they're going to be in power? What do you mean they're going to be in authority? What do you mean? What do you mean? How dare they? They can't move forward. And there's a resistance of God doing things, raising people up in the house of God. Don't let those thoughts entertain you. If God has ordained these two to be authority, to be strong, and to be, I'll use the word movers and shakers in the kingdom of God, that ought not be a threat to you and your position. But there were thoughts. I felt resistance. What do you mean authority? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean exactly? What do you mean power? Okay? And this is the thing that God's going to deal with, and I'm dealing with it right now in the name of Jesus. You need to accept the word and allow, now let me say it, and allow Holy Spirit to raise these two into places supposed to be. Let's all stand up right there. You have anything with that? Pastor Rin, let's all start stretching our hands.
Remember, only God can fulfill the call. You can't make it happen. I'm saying this for all of our benefits. And so, Father, we just cherish the deposit that you've placed in their life. And we affirm it and we release them tonight. It may not happen tomorrow morning or the next day, but as the Holy Spirit sees fit, we release them into the fullness of your purpose and plan. For your honor and glory, Jesus, we pray. Thank you. Barbara Murphy's on. She's up. Who, me?
Just want to say something to Pastor Al alluded to a minute ago about prophecy. The things that we're encouraging these precious people of God with is it's in the realm of what's possible, not what's inevitable. These are highlights, if you will. God, by the Spirit, drawing us. As Jesus said to Peter, you're rock, no longer Simon, but rock. That's a trajectory now for Simon. Aim toward being a rock, not toward being Simon who blows in the wind. And so these become aiming points for people's lives, direction for the pastor, encouragement to us as one of how to pray for one another, and so forth. So I want to keep those things in mind, that these are directions. They're purposeful for the sake of how we aim, what goals we set, and how we begin to reach in the kingdom. So, yeah. Hallelujah.
I just got to say what the Lord showed me when you're coming up there, and you're like a butterfly. You're going to float your way up. Because if someone who's down comes near you, you want them to come up where you are. And so you're an encourager in the body of Christ. And you put on a great attitude or tone to lift people up. And you are kind of, you like to be light. You like to fly around. And you are full of joy. But there's something inside you that God's going to bring the joy of the Lord from the depths of your being. You see, you're a joyful person. But the Lord has shown me there are times when you're not so joyful and there's no one to fly by you like a butterfly. It's always up to you, seemingly. And you're precious, because see, we the body of Christ needs people like you. But the challenge is people like yourself oftentimes end up getting hurt because your goodness and your upliftedness will wear thin when you don't see the reaction. When there's a storm coming, butterflies don't fly in the wind, the storms. Are you with me? And so where do you get your joy? Where do you lift up people, because that's what you are. You're a lifter-upper. And I'm telling you tonight that there's a well deep inside your being. I'm going to use a word, and it's spiritually, so don't get hung up on it. You're going to be pregnant with the birthing of life and joy in your being. God's going to breathe something in you. You never, I'm going to say never, it's a very dangerous word to say, but if you will hear me and respond, the never will be in reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you will never have to look for joy from a human being ever again. There is going to be a release of Holy Spirit in you that brings a personal encouragement to you. And when everything else is falling around, you're going to fly in. but it's not going to be flaky. I'm using the adage of it. I don't want you to think this is flaky. It's not. Because the body of Christ needs encouragers in the times when there is no encouragement. When all the encouragement is on the surface, when everybody's attitudes and everybody's around, the church, and every church goes through this. Trust me, we've been around too long. Every church goes through this. You're going to go through it. If you think you're going to go forward and not have challenges, we might as well go home right now. There are going to be challenges. There's going to be warfare, because this church is getting called on the offense. There is going to be warfare. There's going to be casualties. And there's going to be time where people are going to be so serious, almost downward. And a flaky person will just, they'll just say, oh, go get a life. But not with you. See, you're going to speak what comes from the well of your being. There's a womb inside you that's going to produce joy, confidence, peace. Pastor Ryan spoke this morning. Peace. Passes all understanding. That's going to be birthed in you. Now it's going to be a process. And the enemy is always there. But understand this. God always tests the miracles that he's going to do. He always tests the giftings. He's always testing us with his fire. He's always testing us. But during those testings, you're going to come to understand that there is a source of joy and peace and a flow of Holy Spirit in you that no one will ever take from you again. And sometimes the discouragements of, because you like to be up, you like to be happy, okay? But there are times when there's no one happy around you. That's when you say, Holy Spirit, I need your joy to be released inside me right now. And then you got to release Holy Spirit inside you. And pretty soon, your whole countenance, you will look at yourself in the mirror, and you're going to see a change. Because when something comes from the depth of your being, and Holy Spirit starts to breathe new life in you, your whole countenance comes alive. And you see.
I see you as the daughter of consolation and comfort. Your joy and your bubbliness is not a result that you're just a good-natured person, but they're a result that you found the source, because you've gone through many things, hurtful things, things that have not been comfortable for you, even in your growing up years. As a young lady, there's been disappointments and frustrations and things like that, but they didn't destroy you. You found the source. Jesus is the source. But because you've gone through the stuff, you're going to have the ability to bring comfort and consolation to others. When some who are feeling like they failed miserably, like Mark, he went on a missionary journey with Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, when Mark felt like he wanted to go back home, maybe things would get a little too tough, he was homesick or whatever it was, and it seemed like he failed. Barnabas, who was called the son of consolation, said, I'll take you. You come with me. You're able to find the good thing and bring comfort to that individual. I thank God that Barnabas grabbed a hold of that young man. We wouldn't have the message I'm going to be preaching tomorrow. Mark. But you're going to be able to bring comfort to people who walk through these doors and come into this house, who are going through great feelings of failure in their own life. Hurts or just lack of confidence in them, esteem, and all the other things that they've gone through. Because, sister, you may not appear to have that today, but there was those things and those things in your life. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, comfort those say, comfort those wherewith those things that you've been comforted with. You're going to be a comforter, a daughter of consolation. Did you greet me at the door? See, you're the first face that people are going to see when they come into this place. You're kind of like the filter system that comes into the church. They're going to have to get by you. Amen. And they're going to be faced with this big smile on your face. Now, I assume you greet everybody like you greeted me. With a happy face. Seeing only a good person there. Seeing the best of a person. Not just the bad part of a person. Giving that person the benefit of the doubt. That's what a daughter of consolation will do. Don't have a suspicious mind. You don't care about that. You're going to be uplifting, as Pastor Ellis saying. I just see that as you, the daughter of consolation in the house of the Lord here.
Hallelujah. I see a part of a first responder type of a team. You know, people that go out, and when there's tragedy, when there's difficulty, they're the first ones to get there and to respond and assess what's happened and immediately begin to get into the work of rescuing. I see you a rescued rescuer. God rescued you, and what come this joy that you have, this butterfly spirit that's been spoken about, and this all that's been said, this comes actually has been dug deep in you because the Lord rescued you and called you. You know what it was like to have God reach down into your life, into the pit of your life, and to pull you up. You have been rescued. And so you want to be one of those who rescues others. And so I see you as that. I see you part of a team of people, not just going out solo alone, but like, you know, right to the worst situation, the worst place, and to be able to assess, and then to be able to implement the skills that you've been given to begin to heal the broken, bind up the wounded, to encouraging word to the captive, to the one who's been broken, to be able to speak into that. You're drawn to it. You're drawn to it. God's put it in your heart. You're going to hear it. It's not just going to be people in the house of the Lord either. I see you going out and beginning to rescue people, neighbors on your street. You begin to hear the cry. You begin to hear a certain sound, and God's going to send you and open the way for you to be there. You know, think about first responders. Is when they go to the scene of an accident, when they go to a house fire, when they go to a place where there's been earthquake victims, or they don't look at the color of people's skin, they don't look at the economic status, what kind of house they lived in, they don't size, they don't judge, they're there to rescue. They're there to pull them out of the tragedy, they're there to pull them out of the whatever happened in their life that turned things upside down, and that is your spirit all the way, 100%. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's all stand and start worshiping the Lord. Stretch your hands out to our sister. Amen. Come on, church. Let's not let slack. Come on now.
So the nature of the prophetic, past, present, and future. It's always something that we can attach to. And God lets us know, hey, but this is personal. This is really about us. This isn't some generalization that's going on here that anybody could grab a hold of. It really is important that we understand.